Hey guys, Tim here. Wanted to jump in and give you an opportunity. You can support our show. I don't know if you know this, but the number one way podcasts spread and grow is through referrals. It's through people telling their friends, hey, I found this podcast and I love it and I think you'll love it too. And so if you've been listening to this show for a while and you love it, share it with your friends. Tell everybody you know about it. I'm sure a lot of you are already doing that, but maybe you're not. Send a link. Send us something out to one of your friends. All the apps make that super easy. Just share it. And if this is your first time listening to this show, do that too. Just give it a shot. Send it to some people. Act like you love it and then listen to it. And then maybe you'll regret it. Maybe you won't. Who knows? Maybe it pays off for you. But yeah, just go ahead real quick before this episode starts. Hit share. Tell your friends about it. And then that will go a long way to help this show grow and continue to be here for the next 70 years. We're not going to live that long. Hey, man.
What's up?
Have you ever heard of PFAS?
What?
Have you ever heard PFAS. Of PFAS?
Parental Fragments Adult Services.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Okay. So PFAS, you were pretty close. It does have a lot to do with parents. It actually stands for per and polyfluoroalkyl substances.
Keep trying. Bad guys.
You know me. A big bad
guy.
IBS.
I know I'm about liver damage.
This can cause a lot of IBS.
You don't like that joke? Don't let her take your blood.
Things I learned last night.
Yeah, so anyway.
Per and polyfluoroalkyl substances.
Sure.
Have you heard of that?
Nope.
Oh.
I've got my degree in that.
You might have heard them from their colloquial name, Forever Chemicals.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is this why a bunch of boomers have lead poisoning?
No, that was another episode we did, actually. That was the lead guy. Who was the lead guy? We did an episode on the lead guy.
George? No.
Hold on. I'm scrolling through our list.
Dr. Russ? George. Russ George.
No, Russ George was the fishing guy.
Is that not the same guy? Where he throws the iron and the rust into the thing and it brings all the...
Yeah, no, that was a different guy.
Oh, yeah. Stop. Don't find it.
I won't.
Yes. He was like, I know there's lead in it. I don't care. And then he ended up dying of that bed he made.
Yeah, exactly. He made his bed and he died.
He made his giant bed.
Alex, do you remember who this was?
What was his name? Wow, dude, we're super involved in our content.
I'm like scrolling back through our list of episodes and I'm like,
it was not that long ago. It was last year.
Yeah.
Dang, we've got some good episodes. That was a good one. I can picture his face. I made the thumbnail.
Yeah. I can't find him. Anyways, yeah. So there was a guy who did this. He found out about the lead and he didn't care. This is similar. This is a guy who found out about
Forever Chemicals?
The PFAS and didn't care.
Okay.
So, not just one guy. It was
a
lot of guys.
Is this just the idea that, like, when you drink out of a plastic bottle, there are chemicals from this plastic bottle in my body forever?
Well, that is true. That's not really this. This is a little bit more insidious.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it that the chemicals from this will infiltrate my soul and then direct me to do things for the Dark Lord?
That's also true, but that's more insidious than this.
Okay.
But it's not. That's a cult that prays over every bottle of water.
Nestle Pure Life?
Yeah. It's anything but pure.
The 12 tribes.
Yeah.
They pray over this.
They come together. Yeah. It's weird. So not as insidious as that, but
more insidious than whatever you said before.
Sure.
So PFAS is a man-made chemical.
Okay.
We'll call it PFAS because you saw me struggle with the normal name,
right?
The scientific name. And it's a chemical that we discovered in the early 50s, and it looks like this. All it is.
Yeah.
All it is it's a bunch of carbon merged with fluorine. That's right. Fluoride is right. That's a carbon fluorine. Fluorine? Fluorine. Fluorine. It's fluorine. Right, Alex? Thanks. It's fluoride.
We've got enough sound bits of him. We can make him say whatever we want, really, I think.
Sweet. So the carbon, it's really any formation like this that has a bunch of carbon and fluorine molecules attached together. And then you can have any other combination of anything else in it, and it's still a PFAS, right?
Okay.
The interesting thing about this is because of this chemical makeup, because you have the carbon and the fluorine together, it's basically invincible.
Nothing can neutralize it.
Well, it's not invincible. It just takes 1,000 years to die.
Cool.
Or more, or a couple thousand. You know, it's like it lasts forever, essentially. That's why they call it forever chemicals. They don't die.
Right.
And when we discovered this, we were like, oh, this is sweet.
Cool.
In the 50s, people were like, oh,
we need to figure out how to turn all of our bodies into this.
Well, they said, you know what? We could do so many cool things with this. One of the best ideas that they had early on is they said, if we cover our trees in this, then insects can't do anything to them. They can't walk up them. They can't get in them. Like,
that's not real.
They said spray it all over our trees and we don't have any more insect problems.
No.
Yes. It's 100% a thing. Because they're like, it'll stick to it forever and the ants will try to crawl up it and they'll be too slick. They can't crawl up it. And then they can't get through it.
Think about how that's going to kill the tree?
Yeah, they didn't care. They were like, yeah, but the insects can't get on it. And so we solved the insect problem. It was a lot of, you know, this was the middle. You got to understand the thinking in this era. This is
solve one problem. Doesn't matter what other consequences are.
Well, that is probably part of what was happening.
Yeah, I read a whole book about trees.
What?
I read a whole book about trees. Did I tell you about this?
No. What are you saying to me right
now? With my eyes,
yeah,
opened a physical book.
Yeah.
And my eyes looked at the book and there are words.
I've never heard
like
about
carbon,
anything like this in my life.
Carbon.
Yeah.
That I read.
Yeah.
And my brain went, that's what that word means.
You know what I think? I think people who read books are insane.
People who read books, you know what I do? I drink a glass of milk with it. Every night I go on my back porch
and a book
with
about
a warm
trees.
Glass of milk. Warm.
A warm glass of milk.
A room temp glass of milk.
Room tech milk and my tree book.
Yeah. Anyway, no, I did read a book about trees. I thought
what
I told you about this.
The book?
It's called The Hidden Life of Trees. This is not a joke. It's not a joke. It was a great book.
Why? What made you pick it up?
Okay, but for real though, there's actually, it's pretty fascinating because it's just a guy who you know,
who likes trees.
Loves trees. But
tree guy.
No, this is real. Did you know that trees, so the insect problem.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Did you know that trees, you know, specific species of trees all around each other, if there's an insect that is on that tree, based on the insect's saliva, the tree can tell what kind of insect it is. And then it will release a chemical into the air that would draw the predator of that insect to the tree to get the insect.
That's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life.
It will also release a chemical in the air to alert the other trees in the area.
Yeah.
And so when that insect goes to the other trees, they've already been alerted and they've changed the taste of their leaves so that when the insect bites it, it doesn't like it.
That is insane.
This is real science.
Shut up.
Bro, you want to read a book about it? Isn't that fascinating?
That is pretty cool.
And the way that they communicate through their root systems is bonkers. They use the fungi to communicate with each other.
Yeah.
And they use resources. So
I have heard of this.
Right. So like a stump that's like a tree that has fallen or been chopped down, the stump will still survive because trees share their resources with the same species around them.
Yeah, I have heard that. Especially
it's
like where
wild.
Like, yeah. I've heard that they, that through that same process, through the root system, they will specifically share their resources with their quote unquote young, like the trees that came from their seedlings, so that to help them reach maturity.
Right. And they will actively cut off resources to
to make
different
sure,
species.
Yeah.
so that they are. And so like when a tree falls and there's now a hole in the canopy of that forest,
yeah,
all the other young trees are just, they're in a race.
They're trying to get there. Yeah.
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 And so it's truly fascinating.
Yeah. That is pretty insane. It's kind of surprising though, that hearing about this, I know this is crazy what I'm about to say, but it's kind of crazy where we know this about trees and we haven't figured out how to do that. Like with our economy, like I would think,
how to work together with people or what?
No. How to figure out, oh, hey, I've got, so let's take our last episode, for example.
Sure.
Brazil says, oh, France is coming and they're going to take our lobsters. So we need to change the flavor of our lobsters. But no, like for real though, like that seems like there would be some sort of defense systems that business would figure out to be like, oh, our competition's coming. Yeah, we're just going to.
Yeah, it's called greed, dude. Why do you think people go to war?
Yeah, but it's not war, because this is better than war. Whatever the trees are doing, they're past war.
Yeah. But also, the rate that they grow and the how long it takes those electrical signals to travel through the root system is forever.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's fair.
It takes a long time. So what I appreciated about the book was he talks a lot about the speed of trees.
Yeah.
And how nature will, I mean, like a tree will die, you know, in effect, like damage will happen to its bark that will eventually kill that tree. Like we put this forever stuff on the tree.
Yeah, yeah.
The tree will still survive for another 100 years.
Yeah.
But without it, it could have lived 700-800 years.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And so, but you know, they live slow, they die slow.
Yeah.
And, it's a fascinating book.
That's a good analogy for our life. You live fast, you die fast. You live slow, you die slow. Be more like the trees.
If you live slow, you'll die over a 3-year period due to some type of cancer.
Be like the trees. Be not like Frost. Be like the trees.
But for real, it was a really good book. Anyway, I thought that was a really interesting fact that they changed the flavor of their.
That's pretty crazy.
To ward off predators.
Yeah. That blows my mind. Okay, so yeah, the PFAS, they slathered it over the trees because they said the trees aren't doing a good job keeping the insects away by themselves.
Sure.
We need to help out. They're releasing their own chemicals. We've got better chemicals. And so they rubbed their chemicals all over the tree and kept the ants away from their trees. Ant-free tree zone. And then they said, oh, hey, this can do a lot of stuff. And so then they started making a lot of different products. 3M was the company that invented PFAS originally.
Okay.
Which makes a lot of sense. 3M. Yeah, you might have heard of them. They're one of the big bad guys.
I call them.
Okay. They're one of the big bad guys of the chemical world.
Big bad, bad guys.
You know me. A big bad guy. they invented PFAS. And they called it their friends DuPont. And they said, DuPont.
I've heard of DuPont.
Yeah, they said, hey, DuPont, we're the big bad guys of chemicals, and you're the big bad guys of chemicals too. We're both big bad guys of chemicals. And they said, we got a brand new chemical that we think you guys would think is pretty cool. And they said, all right, tell me about it. They said, it's called PFAS. They're like, you're going to have to tell us a lot more than that. And they said, basically, you can lather this up on anything.
And spray the trees.
And it makes it magic. And they're like, oh, cool. Oh,
anything?
And so DuPont said, sell us some of that, and we're going to start putting it on all sorts of stuff. And so 3M started manufacturing a ridiculous amount of PFAS and selling off vats to DuPont. And DuPont was like, what can we put PFAS on today? And so...
just like freaking using it like Vaseline, baby. Just
lathering it up and send it to the market.
What were they doing?
So they... here, I have a hefty little diagram we could take a look at. This shows everything that DuPont and a lot of other companies started. A lot of other companies got involved.
Oh, yeah. I knew there was forever chemicals in our nonstick cookware.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I didn't know there was forever chemicals in our microwave popcorn bags.
So here's what they did. They figured out, oh, hey, this stuff makes it to where, one, it makes water resistance. So water-resistant clothing, like shoes that you do your water-resistant spray in your shoes, styrofoam, pretty much anything that can resist water or stains is probably a PFAS.
Okay.
So they started making a lot of clothing with it. You can fight fires with it. because these chemicals
fire can't handle it.
They can't. Nothing can survive the PFAS.
Fire ants just can't hold on the fire to the fire.
And everybody knows a fire is just a bunch of fire ants jumbled together.
Everyone does know that.
Everyone knows. Watch out. There's too many fire ants. We're about to get a fire. And so they put it in firefighting, and they also flame retardant materials. So any flame retardant clothes, flame retardant furniture, flame retardant paints have PFAS in it. Non-stick cookware, non-stick anything that doesn't stick, PFAS. Also, they started using it in things that do stick, like tape. here's what's clever about it.
Okay.
They put it on the not sticky side, so you can't stick, but you can kind of still stick.
Okay.
And here's what's an interesting thing. They realized grease doesn't stick to it. So microwave popcorn bags.
Yep.
They don't, nothing sticks to your microwave popcorn bags. Pizza boxes, to-go boxes. Food doesn't stick to that. Grease doesn't stick to that because it's got PFAS on it.
Pizza boxes are not using this stuff anymore because cheese definitely sticks to it.
Photographs. I don't
Thank
know.
Thank goodness.
I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't touched a developed film in a while, so I don't really remember what that's like.
Look at all these PFAS. Oh, don't look at that one.
I was going to say, what do you got in there? Pesticides, obviously animals don't like it. Cosmetic paint. There's a lot of PFAS in a lot of different things.
Okay.
And it took the world by storm because it does...
It's cheaper to make things last longer.
Well, it does make things last longer, but it also makes life a lot easier. Like non-stick pans, so much better than stick pans.
Yeah.
Like stick pans are the worst. There's an ad from the time where it's a little, there's a little girl and she has her non-stick pans. And she said, I used to be a slave to my sticky pans, scrubbing them all day. But she's like, but thanks to my new DuPont non-stick pants, I just, and the food comes off, and she like dumps all the food off of her pants, and she's like, this has saved me so much time. And it's a literal child. She's like 7 years old talking about how much the non-stick pants, how much time they saved her. It's the most insane marketing campaign I've ever seen, because it's a child trying to tell everyone how much time they saved her. Hey, thanks again for watching this episode. If you're enjoying it and you're enjoying Tillin, you've been around for a little bit, I want to invite you to be a part of our Patreon. We have a Patreon that has early access to all of our episodes, ad-free content, both audio and video. We have a Discord with our hosts and producers. That's a ton of fun getting to hang out with all of our patrons in there. We also do once a month now, we do these live streams with our patrons. We hang out, we get to know each other, we eat pizza. It's a blast, along with a bunch of other benefits like merch discounts, message on your birthday, like fun stuff. It's definitely worth it. We're having a blast with our patrons. But if that doesn't sound like something for you, then get the heck out of here. Just kidding. No, we love you. Thanks for checking out Tillin Podcast. How do they get it though? I realized I forgot to put a CTA in mine.
Oh, damn! You were doing gum it.
Yeah,
they can text Tillin to 66866.
Thanks, Jared.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. This time of year is interesting because everybody's kind of coming out of their winter hibernation and wanting to go do stuff. And if you're anything like me, that's not great. Not because you don't like your family or you don't like your friends or anything like that, but because your social battery drains pretty easily and you need more time to recharge than a lot of other people in your life. Last summer, I was not great at this. I let myself do way too much and I got really, really drained and it was a rough experience all around. Luckily, I've got a therapist who does a great job helping me set my boundaries and keeping me accountable to my boundaries, especially in areas like this. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's completely online, it's flexible, it's convenient, and it fits literally any schedule. It's really easy to sign up. All you got to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and you'll get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Tillin today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Tillin. TILLN. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode.
mean, you know the hard life of a 7-year-old in the kitchen.
It's tough. And then you think stain resistance, water resistant, like coats that don't get wet, shoes that don't get wet. It's an objectively better life, except for the consequences of it. Because here's the thing about PFAS. It ruins your life. There are so many health effects, negative health effects that come out of PFAS. As you might guess, there's a lot of cancers that PFAS causes. But on top of that...
But it's so ubiquitous that... I mean, like, this has PFAS in it.
This might have PFAS. I don't know. Splash some water.
This definitely does.
This? This does have PFAS.
Absolutely has it.
For sure. It has PFAS. I've spilled a lot of water on this. I can tell you this has PFAS for sure.
But where was they? So ever, like, what are we supposed to do? You can't live in fear.
Well, let's have a conversation about it. What are you doing? Are you licking our PFAS right now?
Yeah, I'm alive.
I'm just
showing you.
This causes a lot of cancers. This causes a lot of increased
licked the table.
This causes increased cholesterol, liver damage, IBS.
I know a lot about liver damage.
this can cause a lot of IBS.
You don't like that joke? Oh, I also know about that. Did you know, this is true, that you can get a little at Disney World, Disneyland, Disney theme parks. You can go to their customer service booth and you can say, I have IBS.
Can I have some? Oh.
And you can probably get...
I hate how confident you are about this. And you're like, probably.
I mean, I know a couple people who have done it, do it regularly.
Yeah.
You can get like their fast pass because you're like, I can't stand in lines.
Oh, I can't wait this long. I thought you were going to say there's like a private bathroom for IBS people.
No, like they'll give you like the fast pass thing for
because you can't stand in line reliably.
Yeah, you're like, I can't stand in line that long.
That is interesting.
Can I get the fast pass stuff because I have a medical condition?
Do they verify that anyway? Do they have to carry an IBS card? I mean, yeah, I guess.
I have IBS. You know, like this is written.
It is a prescription.
That's what I'm saying.
My doctor says I don't have to wait in line.
That's kind of what I'm saying.
Imagine being at somewhere else where there's
my
lines.
Chiropractor says I can be out right now.
Like imagine being somewhere else where there's lines. Like say you're trying to get into a sporting event, right?
At the grocery store?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I know I have more than 10 items, but I need to go in this line.
I have to be in the front.
Yeah, and sporting events.
Here's a note from my doctor that says I have to be in the front of the line. What do you do? Do you say okay?
I am saying there is such a growing number of those people that eventually that line is longer than just the regular line.
You might be right. You might be right. But here's the thing.
But that's, you know.
What you said a second ago is exactly right.
PFAS, there's a growing number of people.
PFAS is so ubiquitous. It's everywhere in the world that it's almost inescapable. In fact, there was during the like height of the
Cold
DuPont.
War.
Well, yes, between the height of 3M and DuPont using PFAS on everything, they were there was a study that 3M did. So 3M started trying to be the good guys, right? And they started researching.
They do that until they realize how much profit they're going to lose when they're the good guys, and they go, maybe we are the big bad guys.
I think what happens is they do that so they could cover their tracks, and because then they have separate documents.
Sure.
They have documents that are like, this is really bad.
But they also pay scientists to just lie.
Separate document.
Like how Coca-Cola paid scientists to be like, this isn't bad for you.
This is good for you. Yeah. Your doctors.
They didn't say it was good for you. They just said it wasn't bad for you.
They did. They convinced the doctors to prescribe it to people.
They didn't convince the doctors anything. They paid the doctors enough. That's not convincing. That's paying them off.
I think the doctors
two different things.
Well, I think there's an inflection point. You pay a few, and then everybody else is like, oh, that must be good for you if they're prescribing it. And then it catches, and then the culture at large believes it's okay. Because
you're describing how propaganda works?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they convinced the majority of doctors. They paid a handful of doctors, and that, by default, convinced the majority.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. So 3M started doing some research. They started saying, okay, we're making a lot of this PFAS. Mm-hmm. And let's be honest, it's pretty sketchy. We know it's sketchy. We should look into this a little bit and figure out how sketchy this stuff really is. So 3M starts doing some research, and 3M says, okay, let's get a group of our workers in our factory that are manufacturing PFAS.
Okay.
And be like, hey, we're going to take some of your blood.
We're going to count all your toes and your fingers.
They said, we're going to take some of your blood. And they said, this is a weird thing for my employer to be doing right now.
Yeah, also to say it that way too. Hi, I'm... Boom. Hi. They're on Zoom.
They're on Zoom, yeah.
Hey, it's me. I know we don't know each other. I'm Ellie from HR. Here with Dom, and he's going to run through what's going to happen today.
So you received a package in the mail today. If you could just open that up real quick, you'll notice that there is a syringe and a bag and some tubing.
Uh-huh.
All you need to do is just
I can't do this bit. I'm not joking because I'm going to pass out. As soon as you said syringe, I can't do that bit, and we have to move on. I'm sorry. I thought we were going to do a whole thing blood. Where Dom was just going to be like, we're going to take your blood. But then you started talking about the process of taking the blood, and I can't do that. I'm sorry. Anyway.
Jaren's afraid of blood. Jaren is
Let's talk about something else. I'm a big, bad, scaredy boy.
So they went around.
Let her take your blood.
They went around the company and they took blood samples from a bunch of their employees to measure.
Is that legal is what I'm saying. Can your employer just come to you one day?
I mean, this is the 50s.
Is this
50s?
Voluntary sure. Or are they like, hey, we got to take your blood?
They walked in and they were like,
no, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying like, you know, they're doing it the proper way. They send you to a person who does it, right?
I can't answer that question. This is the 50s. If your employer came to you,
is it legal for your employer to say, hey, we require some blood work? I'm sure that's not.
It might be actually because they drug test you. They can drug test you.
Yeah.
And
through
so
blood
if,
work?
So, well, if they might have to have probable cause.
I have successfully not gotten my blood drawn since 2015.
That's pretty impressive. An employer
it's
might
only because I
to,
cry
honestly.
And scream a lot in the doctor's office when they go, hey, and I go, and then I rampage and I break a lot of stuff in the office. They had to put me in the kids' room. This is actually real. When I go get my blood drawn, you know, they had to put me in the kids' room. So I'm sitting
and all
there,
the nurses
like
to
monkeys
hold you down.
And giraffes and elephants and stuff are painted on the wall. This is, I'm not making this up. I'm like in the kids' room.
Why did they put you there?
Because I don't know. Because I said, hey, I'm like, and when
and
they come,
like, okay, put this kid in the kid room.
I'm serious. When they come and take my blood, I literally look them in the face and I say, I'm going to pass out.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, sure. And I go, no. I'm telling you for my safety.
Yeah.
And also mostly yours because
I'm going to collapse onto
they're
you.
They're typically a lot smaller
yeah.
than I am.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I go, I need to be doing this laying down.
Yeah.
And they go, okay. And then I go, good night. Every time.
Jeez. That's, well, what happened to you? Did somebody take a bunch of your blood?
I don't know. One time I was with an ex and her mom and she had to get blood drawn for something. We're walking out to the parking lot. I wasn't in the room when they got the blood drawn. Yeah. They were talking about it.
Yeah.
And as they're talking about it, I passed out in the parking lot. I chipped this tooth back here. It's just sawed down. Because I face down.
I've never even heard that story.
On the asphalt. And you know what she did was instead of helping me or getting down and making sure I was fine, she jumped in the car and started praying in tongues. I woke up to her being like, you know, I'm not joking.
I think I know who that is. That's hilarious.
Yeah, you do.
That's weird incredible. Times. So it's weird the 50s, times. And it's okay for your employer to just walk in and be like, we need some of your blood. And so they took...
this is before they made that illegal.
they took a bunch of their employees' blood.
We're taking it.
And they started testing it to see...
You can either give it to us, or we'll take it.
We're going to take it. So they started testing a bunch of their employees' blood to see how much PFAS was in their blood.
Quite a bit.
And they were like, okay, we now have a good sample to see how much PFAS is in the blood of people who are working with PFAS regularly. And they said... Now we need to go get a control group to test this.
Okay.
And so they went outside into the city and they tested it and they said...
Into the city? On the street?
Hello, excuse me.
Hi, excuse me. May I have some of your blood? I think vampires would go a lot further if they were just polite about it.
If you're just upfront, just kind you'll of be surprised what people will give you.
Don't come up and be like, hey man, hard times, need some blood.
Need some blood.
Just come up and tell
just
me.
Ask.
I would like some.
Hey, can I have some of your blood?
They'd make it a lot further, you know?
Hello, 911. Yeah, some guy on the train is asking me for my blood.
Well, did you
give him some? Yeah, sounds like he asked nicely.
I don't know it's what you want from me.
Pretty rude of you not to at this point.
Give him some blood.
Give him some blood. So he went across the community, and lo and behold, the local community, the amount of PFAS in their blood matched their employees. And they said, that's peculiar. So they widened the circle a little bit, and the same thing. And they widened the circle a little more, and it was the same thing. Eventually, they were pulling from the entire country, and it was the same thing. Okay. So they started going global, different continents, and it was the same content of PFAS in the blood. And they concluded that they could not find a control group because it had proliferated so much across the globe.
That we all have.
That we all have major concentrations of PFAS in the blood. So,
cool.
So they started studying. They were like,
sometimes our episodes just give me a lot of hope for the future.
So they started studying. Okay, well, what's a safe amount of PFAS in the blood? Because there was like some variants, like, right? There are some people.
How
who
much
had, like,
is my allowed to have?
There were some people who had like 70 parts per trillion. There were some people who had like one part per billion, you know? So it was like different amounts.
Sure.
Some much more, some significantly less, but everybody had some. So they started studying how much they thought was an okay amount. And in the early 60s, they concluded that one part per billion was a safe amount. Once you pass one part per billion, you've got too much. Which one part per billion? Not
pretty
much.
Small.
Not much. It was compared recently. I heard in a documentary, it was compared to a single drop of water in an Olympic-sized swimming pool was one part per billion. So you would be over the limit if you just took a drop of PFAS.
Okay.
And so then they called up their friends at DuPont and they said, hey, DuPont.
Guys.
Quick question. This PFAS, what have you guys been doing with like your excess or your leftovers? Like
dumping it into the water supply?
That's exactly what they said. Like, oh, we're just dumping it in the river.
Oh my gosh, dude.
And they said, you should do that.
Stop that.
Yeah, they're like, you should stop doing that for sure. At all costs, do not dump that in the river. And DuPont's like, cool, bro. And they just kept doing it.
Do you know what they told you on the phone?
I don't remember.
I should have taken notes on that phone
call.
I'm
going to be honest with you. In my last HR meeting, they took so much blood. Said put I don't remember a thing. I couldn't tell you what I did 20 seconds ago. I can't tell you how this conversation started. There's no blood in my body.
No blood right now.
Todd from HR is not licensed to take blood. He's taking way too much blood out of all of us.
I think they said put more in the river.
They said dump all your PFAS in the river.
And I said, okay. I hit the emergency river eject button. It's like that's right next to the phone, right? So he goes, okay, we will not.
We will not.
Oh, daggummit. Oh, no. That was a poor place to put the phone.
We should not have put the phone next to the PFAS dump button.
Has Diet Coke been invented yet? I need something to take the edge
Diet
off.
Diet Coke.
I am so anxious about the number of PFAS.
Oh, wait, it's the 50s. Give me a cigarette.
Give me a cigarette.
I can still do those.
And a glass of milk.
I need a cigarette and a glass of milk stat.
Nothing pairs with a good cigar. We should ask for a glass of milk. Jack and milk.
Let me get a Jack and milk. I want one part per billion, Jack. It's so much.
Or like an Olympic pool.
Olympic pool of milk.
Speaking of Olympic pool, Jack. Yeah. I looked up today how they're going to lay out the 2028 Olympics in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to live there.
Yeah. How's that going to be?
Do you know where the pool's going to be?
Is it your neighborhood pool?
It's my house. They're going to level my house and put the pool there. No, it's the USC baseball stadium.
Oh, they're going to put a pool in there?
They're going to put a pool in the
baseball stadium
and turn it into a
hey, that's clever.
Pool. pretty wild.
It's always interesting to me with those can just do Olympic villages.
Yeah.
Because some places, like, they just like build all this stuff that's never going to get used again.
Oh, yeah.
But like LA, we don't got room to do that in LA. So they're just going to have to use like the
college
stuff.
Campus and stuff. Yeah. They should modify the baseball stadium to be a pool.
That's pretty wild. Speaking of pools, Bree and I used the pickleball courts here the other day. Yesterday,
that is the same. Oh, yeah, here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
It was pretty fun. She destroyed me 0-4 every game. Just absolutely obliterated me. So
I'm really proud of you for admitting that. Every time you tell stories on this podcast, you could just lie.
Oh, that's right. I destroyed her 4-0. Not even close. And it was great. What was frustrating about it is she got a new gym membership yesterday. And she's like starting on this new fitness journey. I've been on mine for about a year. She is a better athlete than me.
True.
Always has been. Always will be. But I felt like yesterday, we haven't played a game together in a while, like a physical game.
You felt like all the training we've done.
I felt like I'm in better shape than her right now. I'm definitely in better shape than her right now. But she's
that's
better,
a good thing.
But she's a better athlete.
We all heard
athlete.
Him say that, right?
But she's a better athlete.
Alex is in there like, buddy.
She's a better athlete than me. And so on the way there, she's like, who do you think's going to win this? And I was like, oh, I'm going to win this. And we got there and she obliterated me. And I haven't ran as hard on the treadmill all year than I did
today. The treadmill?
The treadmill.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you say it?
Treadmill.
Treadmill. I look like I was training for the Olympics today. I have just a renewed fervor and it's all for naught. I'm never going to be able to beat her. She's better than me at anything. Everything, athletics.
Most stuff.
But man, anyways, I destroyed her 4-0.
You just lied, dude.
Yeah, you're right. I just lied to cut out all the stuff where I told the truth.
I need to play Bree in pickleball.
Yeah. You've played her before.
Yeah, I held my own.
Yeah.
She's pretty good.
She's athletic. She is very athletic. And she is like, because she was a very serious athlete growing up. And she like takes sports very seriously, especially when she plays against dudes.
Yeah.
Because she like has this thing where she's like, I got to put you in your place.
Sure.
Like, so she just like, she's like, she does not hold back and she will embarrass you. she embarrasses me a lot. There was
she
never,
should try out for the KC Current.
Well, a lot of her friends play for the Current.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. She's gotten in.
Yeah, I don't know.
She can go try out.
Anyways.
Do you think you're in good enough shape to play?
For the Current?
For professional soccer?
No.
Okay.
Give me 3 years of training.
I hate you. Three years?
3 years. I think you're doing three years.
Yeah.
Give me 3 years.
Yeah.
Give me a trainer. Give me a program. And like, if I can commit myself, like if like I'm saying like, that's all I'm doing, I could get there in 3 years. Okay. And I think that of anybody. Mm-hmm. I think you give anybody a trainer, you clear their schedule. They don't have to do anything else. 3 years to train. I think anybody could get there.
Cool.
Unless you're like 35 plus. Then it's tough. That changes. Yeah.
Tough. Anyway, you need drugs.
What'd you say?
I said you would need performance enhancing drugs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. At 35 plus, definitely. So
speaking of though, I've considered even thinking about steroids lately. Are we gonna do it?
Are we gonna do steroids? No. So don't do steroids.
Don't do steroids.
What are we talking? Okay, so there's a community in Michigan called Oakdale, Minnesota. It's not Michigan.
A community in Michigan called Oakdale, Minnesota. You idiot. You moron. You idiot.
Hey, thanks for checking out this episode. If you're enjoying this, let me recommend Timothy Dexter. It's one of my favorite episodes, not just because the content's great, but because it was our live episode. We shot that in front of a live audience, just like Dr. Phil. And it was awesome. You won't believe what? The diagnosis. But anyways, hey, thanks for being here.
what happens in Oakdale, North Dakota?
Oakdale has a lake there called Lake Elmo.
Okay.
And Lake Elmo is where 3M and DuPont had been dumping a lot of their PFAS. But PFAS, I don't know if I mentioned this. This is where Teflon comes from.
Yeah.
As a PFAS.
We mentioned the nonstick.
We didn't say Teflon.
Okay.
We didn't use the word Teflon, but that's what it is.
Sure.
They've been dumping all their PFAS in there. And the majority of the community's got cancer. And everyone always thought it was weird that the majority of the people there have cancer. They thought it was like just something genetic or something like that. But it was the lake. And it was because they got their drinking water from the lake.
Okay.
Because the PFASs that were getting dumped into the lake. And the local high school had a bunch of kids that were getting cancer, and kids who had parents who got cancer. And so it was like a
epidemic. It was like a whole thing.
It really was. Yeah. And there was one specific child who became like a person who like campaigned against the use of PFAS. She ended up passing away, but in her honor, like a community came together and a nonprofit organization came together that was able to actually outlaw the main PFAS that was used in these original DuPont chemicals and the 3M chemicals. This was early 2000s.
Okay.
These were PFAOs and PFOs. So they were two types of PFAS cysts.
Okay.
There are two specific kinds. And what was interesting is the way that the EPA is set up is the EPA was able to outlaw these two specific types of PFAS, but they weren't able to outlaw PFAS as a whole. So
okay.
What 3M and DuPont did is they created new PFAS. So they created,
sure.
They created what's called Gen X, and that is the Gen X you're thinking of. They're not people. They're chemicals.
They're a chemical.
Yeah. No, they're not the people. They're not the generation. They are a new chemical that they're using to do exactly what they were doing before with PFASs.
Okay.
And so they're still in all of these products, but they're not the PFOAs and the PFAs that got...
dumped in that lake.
That got dumped in the lake and got outlawed. But it's the same thing. And so they've basically been able to outlaw something that just made a new thing. It's like a hydra. You kill one, two new heads pop up. And
sure.
Because of the way the law is set up, there's no way to just outlaw it as a whole. So it's become a thing where basically they have to change the law that allows the EPA to just cut it all off. But
okay.
They don't have that law right now.
Sure.
So anything that you own that is water resistant or stain resistant or nonstick or grease resistant, anything like that, probably still has PFAS in it, but it's just not the original PFAS.
And it's just the contact with it that gives us cancer? Like, I don't have to eat my jacket.
Okay, so that's what's interesting. You can, from touch, end up getting some PFAS in your system. What is interesting is a lot of the non-stick and the water-resistant stuff is... there's a like formula that's used to stick that to you, and you're not exposing any of that into the air by just wearing that. It's not a danger to you by wearing that.
Okay.
You'd have to turn it into like a liquid basically or a gas for that to be a problem to you. The stuff that's used in your food though, like in food containers, like your popcorn in the microwave, that is something that's actually a concern. But more than anything, the biggest concern is the byproducts that are ending up in waterways.
Yeah.
Or even ending up anywhere else, because what happens is this somehow and through some form or another ends up in a waterway or ends up in the water cycle and evaporating and being in the rain. And so, and it's become such a widespread thing that it literally does not matter where you are on Earth today. You're going to end up with some of this coming in contact with you and ending up in your blood. It's an unavoidable thing. The
only
way...
That's another thing in the tree book. This is real.
All right, let's talk about the tree book.
How rain gets further inland.
Yeah.
And like how trees can change the atmosphere around them. So like, you know how it's very cloudy and rainy all the time in the Pacific Northwest?
Yeah.
Okay. It's because those pine trees release a chemical into the air that is a dense molecule that collects water. And so that molecule, the water molecules stick to it. which makes the clouds thick. And then they condense
more like rain.
More rain.
Interesting.
And so that can happen further inland. So then those trees do that. These trees here have that like a different molecule releasing so that when that wind blows those clouds over,
it captures
them. Still captures here.
That's insane. So they're like,
so if you cut all those trees down the Pacific Northwest, it probably wouldn't be raining. It probably wouldn't
rain as much. That is bonkers. Is that how they're doing the HAARP program?
The what?
The HAARP program. I've thought about doing an episode on this before.
I don't know what the HAARP program is.
And it's where they're like changing the weather. The government's changing the weather. The government's like causing hurricanes.
No, they're not. Oh my gosh, dude.
It's the HAARP program.
I try to share fun facts but about trees. Here's the thing.
You saying that means it's possible.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway, maybe the trees are trying to kill us with PFAS.
So here's what's interesting. Everybody's got in their blood is unavoidable. Yeah. If you drink water, you're probably drinking a little bit of PFAS every time you drink some water. And the EPA has actually, so 3M said, we think it's one part per billion is the safe limit. If you're above one part per billion.
The EPA is like 3 parts per billion.
Well, what the EPA said is they rolled that back and they said, oh, it's actually 70 parts per trillion. And so it's basically a trillionth of what they said is the safe amount to have in your system. And so basically, any amount.
Right.
The EPA is like basically any amount in your system is a dangerous amount to have in your system.
But we all have a little bit of in our system.
Most people have about 1,000 parts per billion.
What?
Yeah. You're like way over the limit.
I'm blowing a 0.8 on PFAS right now?
Yeah, you're way over.
Or 0.08.
It's 0.08.
Yeah, if you're blowing a 0.8. Jeez.
Or maybe it's 0.8. I don't know.
No, it's 0.08.
I've never...
Point zero eight.
Alex?
0.08.
Thanks, Alex. Alex has not answered any of my questions. Every time I said Alex, he'd just be like, ah, I don't care.
Alex, what is... all right.
So the only thing that they've ever observed... Huh?
You think he's okay in there?
I don't know, Alex. He's dead in there. We dumped a bunch of PFAS in that closet before this.
And he's just...
Yeah, he's a lobster. He's got lobster hands.
We have a lobster running our switchboard. It's great.
So the only way we've ever observed, the only possible way we've ever observed of lowering the PFAS count in our blood
is okay.
There's one way we've ever observed.
Prayer.
Really close. Pregnancy.
Because you can just pass it on to that?
That's exactly right. You're just sucks. Passing the PFAS
that
out of your blood.
Sucks, the child. Dude. That sucks. That's
the only thing we've ever observed that lowers the PFAS count in your blood is having a child and giving it to
sucks.
Them.
Sucks.
Mothers.
Oh my gosh.
They actually transfer it through breastfeeding as well.
Yeah.
And so the child increases their PFAS count and the mother decreases their PFAS count. And what's interesting is
good
that
for her. You know? Get that PFAS out of you.
And the response of what happens in the child to this the PFAS is they have a lower weight at birth. They have child obesity. There's increased risk of a miscarriage. And then they actually have what they've discovered is a lot of these children that have a higher PFAS account, they have early onset puberty, which is pretty crazy.
Okay.
That was
how team. Early?
I don't know. Anything like...
Speaking of early onset puberty, when I was in middle school... I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. No. We did an episode...
A while ago.
Long time. Several years ago at this point. Was it 2020?
It was... It might have been pre-2020. It was an early episode.
No, I remember us being in...
We were in your room.
Yeah.
But so that was not... that we moved there in 2019.
Well, we moved there in 2020.
In that guest room.
We moved in the guest room in 2020.
Sure.
Yep. Because my roommate moved out in February of 2020, and I had like a bunch of shows booked, and I was like, this is going to be great. I finally live on my own. I just doubled my rent, which is, you know, it's now $600 more each month, but I've got a lot of shows booked. It's going to be a good year. And then not. So anyway, it's 2020.
Okay.
So 4 years ago.
4 years ago, yeah.
And we did an episode about Natalia Grace Barnett, who there was a, and this was before, there was no documentary about her.
There wasn't. No, it was, that was really,
she had been on Dr. Phil at that point,
yes,
right?
Yes.
There was a lot of, there was some controversy over this couple adopted a Ukrainian daughter who is a dwarf and is got a lot of medical conditions and all this stuff. And they became convinced that she was not, in fact, a 7-year-old girl, but she was a 22-year-old woman pretending to be a little girl.
Yeah.
And we did a whole episode about this and, you know, told the whole story and we talked about the theories and whatever, right?
There we told the whole story as it was...
As it was at the time.
Yeah, that we knew at the time.
Okay, so there's an HBO documentary about this. You watched season one,
I watched
right?
season one, yeah.
Okay, so season one sets up that same stuff. They're showing a bunch of footage and there's a lot of time in this documentary that you're like... Is she a 22-year-old? That's crazy.
And that was kind of the feeling before. It was like you didn't know when we did it. You didn't know who was telling the truth. And
right.
Even in season one, you didn't know.
You didn't know who was telling the truth. And you're like, this leaves you kind of like, this is crazy. I'm telling you, we just finished season two this week.
Yeah.
Season two, she is interviewed.
Yeah.
And I am telling you that when you see adult Natalia speaking on camera, you realize immediately that that was a little girl the whole time.
The whole time.
So. If you go back to listen to that episode, we speculate, and I want you to know, we now know, I know now, we were super wrong.
I don't know yet.
She is definitely, because I mean, it's like when you see her now, you go, that's an adult.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then when you see the videos of her as a kid, you go, that's her as a child.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the first season, you know, it is kind of not hard to tell, but I mean, like if you don't see her as an adult and you only see this footage and you go, maybe that is an adult because they put her next to other kids and stuff. She did look a little older.
Yeah.
And no, but when you see her now, you go,
there was a lot of peculiar things in the story.
Right.
But I think one of the most interesting parts about the story from the beginning is that the parents seem to be trying to set up this storyline that this is an adult.
So that's what they're talking about here is that they realized in this new season, they talk about their... Which the first season documentary is insane that her adopted father can get out of the trial because in the jury, they weren't allowed to, they re-aged her. They legally re-aged her to be 22 years old.
Which is nuts that you can do that.
And that's the stuff that I'm like, oh crap. They did that to a 9-year-old girl. That 9-year-old was living by herself in an apartment.
Yeah.
And so anyway, when you see her as an adult, you immediately throw out the whole story.
Yeah.
Because before you could be like, I don't know. There's a lot of questions, you know, but when as she grows up, you go, oh, you're not done growing.
Yeah.
Also in season two, they talk to her childhood dentist who pulls up the x-rays and shows this is clearly a child's mouth. You know, there's all these adult teeth underneath it.
That's crazy.
And the dentist didn't know that they had re-aged her.
Oh my gosh.
Wild stuff. So anyway,
it's wild that they had like this trial and everything and they didn't bring any of the experts in that were like her pediatrician or her dentist.
Because somehow got it thrown out, the re-aging thing. Because legally, even now, she is still legally 33 years old.
That's crazy.
So when you go back to re-listen to that episode, it's worth listening to the episode and go watch the documentary to get the full story. But then when you watch the new season of the documentary and you see, oh, this was just child abuse. So clearly what happened was a couple adopted a special needs child. They realized that the special needs child is going to need a lot of effort for her special needs.
Yeah.
And they were legally responsible for her until she turned 21.
Yeah.
So they re-aged her to 22 so they wouldn't be responsible for her anymore.
Yeah.
It's very sad.
Yeah. That's crazy.
And they're just getting away with it so far.
That's wild. That's
crazy. Anyway, so I felt like we needed to do a quick update.
Yeah, I'm glad you did that. I haven't watched the documentary yet, so
when you watch it, episode one, you'll watch it and you go, "That's a 22-year-old girl right there." Yikes!
And that's kind of the moral of the story of the PFAS thing too. If you got enough money, or if you really just try hard enough, you can make the law do whatever you want the law to do.
True.
And that's what 3M and DuPont did for forever, and they're still doing it. They're still dumping PFAS into our planet, and we're all getting infected with a ridiculous amount of it, and it causes cancer, and it breaks people's bodies down in a ridiculous amount of ways.
It makes them lose to their spouses in pickleball. It's got a lot of side effects.
That side effect is one that a lot of people don't recognize. It's pretty rampant.
It's because you're full of PFAS.
Yeah, so... If you're wondering what can I do about it, the answer is nothing. You really can't.
This isn't one of those shiny fun episodes where it's like, just recycle more.
Yeah, no, there's
it's not on us. It's on the corporations that rule us. It's on our rulers. And then if you just,
it's in everything. It's in your blood.
We suffer together. Join our Discord and whine about it.
So anyways,
the only way to stop them is to fiddle them off, huh? Hey, thanks for making it to the end of this video. If you like this and you want more episodes, there's more somewhere around here and also clips from the show. But make sure you subscribe. Please do that. That really helps us. It makes us feel good. We look at the number and we go, oh my gosh, there's more people who like us. And it also just makes sure that you don't miss episodes in the future because we put these out every single week. And there's so many in the past, so many old episodes you can go watch. And you know, there's an entire season of episodes that we didn't even have video for. So you can go listen to those if you'd like to as well. Thanks for being here. We'll see you again next week on Things I Learned Last Night. That's this podcast, right? That's this one?
Yeah, that's the one.
Things I Learned Last Night.
That's the one. All right, you're free to go.
Great.